Okay, this is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 11 to 27. And the title is Go and Wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And we'll read the first two verses and the rest, but for context, 9 and 10. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then? And he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when your master goes into the house, when my master goes into the house of Rimmon, to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of raiments, of garments, sorry. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. I didn't go anywhere. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. God's expectation for the body of Christ and all of humanity in time is clearly stated in these 2 verses in Jeremiah 29:11, which says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And yet our flesh has many preconceived notions as to the way that we think we should go that is pleasing to God in order to find this expected end. And that other verse is, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That way in our flesh excludes the process of judgment that stems from the affliction, the persecution, the tribulation, the suffering of which God says is necessary if we're going to overcome and enter into the kingdom of God within us day by day as we die daily to these things. Affliction, persecution, tribulation, and suffering. So that's what God uses in the right measure. He's a spiritual metallurgist. He knows exactly what we can endure and what we have to go through. So these things represent what will bring death to our old man. And going in the way that seems right to us is what will keep our old man alive and bring death to Christ in us. Luke 18, verses 21 to 23, and he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lack thou one thing, sell all that you have, which is another way of saying, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Yet lack thou one thing, sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. It was a certain ruler in this parable we just read who represents the fleshly pulls of our life that want to rule over us, who was rich in a self-confidence or a self-righteous spirit that did not acknowledge his need to be continually dragged to Christ. And I could say there to his body too, who is the only one who can do the work within us of overcoming both physical riches and doing many wonderful works can blind us from our need to continually acknowledge our blind and naked condition in this life, causing us to go back into the world. For Damas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And I often remember when I read that, I think, well, they didn't go back into the bars and into, you know, that's not what it means. It means their mind, God had taken them away from us to go back into the world and sacrifice them. But God's called us to realize that our life is, it's an admonition for us, in other words, to fight a good fight of faith, to not take anything for granted. Without following Christ and his body, the church, we will surely experience that blindness of John 9:41, which will keep us from seeing truth that if continued in, will set us free. Jesus said unto him, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. So just acknowledging that blindness that's there, that we need Christ, we need each other, is such a profound point. God wants us to know that. And he's teaching us that. Every joint supplies in love. We build each other up. We strengthen each other in our walk. We help each other through our trials. This is what we're called to do. God is dragging the elect out of Babylon in order for us to learn what it means to have the true patience and faith of the saints, which is realized through a lifetime of much tribulation that leads to our ultimate deliverance from these bodies of death in the first resurrection, Lord willing. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You remember the first time you read these verses, and I thought, I didn't expect verse 12 to be talking about the saints. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, all that we just read there. So God's wrath abides on us until it doesn't, but it's there. We have to go through a lifetime of much tribulation because that's just the way God made us. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Without the faith of Christ, there's no way we can endure the wrath of God and the indignation and the trials that are necessary, needful for us to become that new creation that God has already got in mind. He knows exactly how it's all going to unfold. Keeping God's commandments and having the faith of Jesus is why we will be hated of all men for his name's sake, for his word, because we'll be faithful and stand on those words through Christ. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for his words, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. The patience and faith of the saints, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And the good news after that is that Christ will not deny himself. So if we're bound to that altar and he's working with us, he'll finish what he started in each one of us. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue, abide in the faith of Jesus, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So it's good to have our minds armed with the suffering of Christ and have a readiness, and that will strengthen us and that'll help us in those difficult times like we've been reading in the emails of late. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And type in shadow, Naaman, who is a type of the elect, is showing us in this section of scripture how, if we are God's kind of first fruits, despite ourselves, we will be dragged to Christ and go through a process of judgment that will wash away our leprous condition and make us ready or mature to be in the first resurrection. Being made completely ready is symbolized by Naaman being dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. And all such spiritual increase comes from God alone, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Those gifts are given to us from our Father through Christ, who is typified by Elisha, who, when Naaman finally listened, was able to be washed. Then, when he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Luke 13:32, and he said unto them, go, you, and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. The Christ is talking about himself, but he's talking about us too. The body of Christ, as he is, so are we. This is what it takes for us to go on to perfection. Let us, those who are being judged in this age and going through a process that is leading to maturity, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Of course, Christ is the one who's made us ready. And this is confirmed in this next verse. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. All right. So Naaman, the first verse now. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. This reaction of Naaman towards Elisha is the shadow of how we at first despise God's goodness that leads us to repentance. not knowing that the work that God is doing in the body of Christ has nothing to do with a fleshly outward show. Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord as God, strike his hand over the place. Rather, we come to see that it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God that we are given the ability to mortify the deeds of the flesh, destroying the inward man of perdition who wants to rule and reign on the throne of our hearts. Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. There's a process, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Therefore, the deeds of the law, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his kind. Naaman was wroth, and this anger is directed toward Elisha, who is a type of Christ, that Naaman wants to know after the flesh, as was indicated with these words. Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. No, none of these things happened. Instead, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, which is symbolic of the Comforter coming to us to do a work that requires that we hear the still small voice of God through our prayerful and repentant relationship that is our strength. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That represents the Comforter. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. So that confidence, of course, is in Christ, and we are of the generation of who have no confidence in the flesh. But God knows when we are leaning unto ourselves and not unto him, and he knows how to chasten and scourge us so that we come back and our confidence is regained and we become more zealous in his service because we realize the Lord's doing this work in me. I've read that 1,000 times, but he still has to drag me and bring me back to the remembrance of that reality. Verse 12, and are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. We all just naturally look at the outward appearance and don't look at the heart of a matter the way Christ did and can through us. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And 2 Kings 5:10 in the PNB KJV, Elisha, my God is salvation, sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan, which means descent, 7 times. And that makes sense because it's abasing ourselves so that Christ can increase, which is what happens when we're cleansed and we don't despise God's goodness. That leads us onto that process. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Are not Abana, 2 Kings 5:12, unchanging, and Pharpar rapids, which Swift probably from H6565, in the sense of rushing, it says, rivers of Damascus, which means sack of blood. Silent as a sackcloth weaver. Are they not better than all the waters of Israel? That was his perception. it kind of makes us think, you know, the difference between a big raging river and the waters of Christ that are very humble. They're not big raging waters. He made himself of no reputation, but those were the living waters. Better than all the waters of Israel, he asks. Israel, meaning he will rule with God. May I not wash in them and be clean? So Naaman, pleasantness, turned and went away in a rage. When we judge a matter in the flesh, which this is all symbolic of what he's doing here, he's looking at the physical and thinking these rivers are far more superior. And we may have thought that in Babylon, this church is full of wonders, you know. When we judge a matter in the flesh, as we can see, even with the definitions used of all these names in the Proper Names Bible version above, we are looking to be washed by what the strength of the flesh can offer, symbolized by Abana, unchanging, and Pharpar, rapids, and rivers of Damascus, sack of blood. Then Naaman asked the question, may I not wash in them and be clean? To which Christ tells us emphatically, no. There's only one place where we can be washed and find living waters. And I put in Hebrews 13:10, which is just another witness to that. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And that is through Christ, where we are baptized into his death, to be given living waters, to never thirst again. Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, now just think about that. Christ is represented by the Jordan too. Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. So this is why he's going down to the Jordan to be washed seven times, to be cleansed, because it represents where we find our healing through Christ. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters. The woman saith unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? And the answer is from the Father, because the Father had given everything that the Father had, Christ had. He had that spirit, he had the living waters, and she was looking physically at Christ, which is another representation of those rivers, just looking at the physical circumstances. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the waters that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When flesh doesn't get its way, it foams up in a rage. But if Christ is working within us, he can. And we'll still those raging seas and bring a calm to us, a peace that passes all natural understanding, that is carnal and in battle against the spirit. Naaman is us turning away in a rage. So he turned and went away in a rage until God mercifully sends someone his way to restore him from his from this condition. Jude 1:13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? So that's the point. I mean, if God is not working with us, that's just the natural state of man right there. He makes a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. And that ties back to that earlier verse, that quietness and strength that happens as a result of going through trials and being led unto repentance. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan doesn't have a free will, but God uses him. His book is written, and he is used to bring people into that captive state. And God willing, God will use us in meekness to instruct those who do oppose themselves to deliver them from that spirit. Verses 13 and 14, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, than when he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The servants in this part of the story also represent the Spirit of God that is helping Naaman, or leading him into all truth, to gain a right perspective in regard to what is being asked of him. And what is being asked of him is to wash and be clean. And it really is not, as he says, a great thing. What is being asked of him, reminding us of Romans 8:18, which says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When we humble ourselves and obey God's commands, we will receive of his Holy Spirit and be washed and cleansed. But God is the one who must do the dragging and converting, which is what the story of Naaman is a shadow of, and written for our sakes, upon whom the end of the ages are come. And that makes me think of Christ learning obedience by the things he suffered, and that's part of the process. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them. And that's an important thing to acknowledge. God is up against you. And if you don't acknowledge that you're being tried and tested, that's not a good thing. It's just going to lead to more heartache and more, you know, and this is part of the process. God knows how to bring us to our knees. And that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. And there's the process that we're going through, those three names. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. And that's speaking specifically of the elect. God is judging us. Judgment is upon us. So this is not something that won't happen or may happen. It will happen. God is going to finish the work he started in us. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So that obedience was important in Christ's life. It was an example for us, and a spirit was given to him without measure because of that obedience. It is after Naaman is convicted of what the servant says to him, that he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, he was clean. The spirit that Christ is forming in us is that of a little child, in the sense that a little child is teachable and humble, as Naaman demonstrated by humbling himself by going down and dipping himself in the Jordan seven times. The seven times dipping is the same principle as the seven sneezes that are needed to drive the evil spirits out of the child that was dead but raised to life by the prophet Elisha. Both symbolic of that process. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Hebrews 12:25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not or refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. So he was listening, and that led to that process of repentance, that cleansing. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Verses 15 to 17, and he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing at thy servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Naaman sounds like Nebuchadnezzar, what he says after the fiery furnace experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Naaman is convicted, but in type and shadow, he's not a mature son. And the proof of that is expressed by his not freely receiving this gift of healing, but wants rather to pay something back to Elijah. I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Elisha, man of God, simply tells him, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, name it. Raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Then Naaman's request, one second. Then Naaman's request to take back with him two mules burden of earth to henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord, is also written for our sakes to remind us of what God's word does for us today. Our citizenship is in heaven, and taking this earth from Israel to Syria is on a beast of burden is symbolic of how we are in the world and not of it. We are the Israel of God. It says that in Galatians 6:16. And able as such to worship God in spirit and truth. The earth symbolizes a spiritual plot of land that we sojourn in as ambassadors while on this earth called Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The gift of being healed and liberated from idolatry and false worship is the true reward that cannot compare to any gift in the earth. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we were talking about this earlier section, how we went to Syria, and it's interesting because that's a symbol of going in. You have to go into Babylon to come out of it as a type of God's elect. And God takes us out, but we have to go into Babylon first. So there's that connection too. In this thing, the Lord pardoned, verses 18 and 19, thy servant, when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaned on my hand, and I bowed myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bowed down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardoned thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Naaman confesses his fault of bowing himself in the house of Rimmon, a Syrian deity, after his master who is worshiping there leans on his hand. In this thing, the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. This confession of Naaman comes after he is cleansed of his leprosy and is now convicted of his wrong behavior that he is giving an account of to Elisha. His master leaning on his hand is symbolic of how Babylon wants to rule over us and does until we are healed and confess our idolatrous ways, which we embraced in Babylon. The end result of his confession to Elisha are these words from the prophet. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. God's peace comes to us when we are abased and confess our faults. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. But a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Gehazi's double-mindedness comes out with this opening statement. Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Out of his own mouth, he's being judged here, saying he knows that this was an act of mercy on the part of the prophet in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. And yet in the next breath, he says, because of the avarice and greed in his heart, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. And that word spared is to withhold, strain, hold back, keep in check, refrain. Gehazi carries out these lust-filled actions, thinking no one can see him, when in truth nothing is hidden from the Lord with whom we have to do. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, Hebrews 4:13, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Acts 5, verses 1 to 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and held back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And that's a rhetorical question, because really Ananias and Sapphira represent the world and how the world will treat Christ when Christ returns. I mean, we know Christ is here, but when the resurrection happens and this interaction will end up in the world coming up against the body of Christ. And withholding the price of the land is just another way of saying not giving your life. Giving your whole life and your tithe, which is what the tithe represents, laying down our life. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why have you conceived this thing in thine heart, that you have not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Then Peter said unto her, this is now the other part of the story. Yeah. How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Verses 21 to 23. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "All well? Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment, of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. In the book of James, we're told, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempts he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. I will run after him and take somewhat of him. And enticed, then when lust has conceived, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And those actions, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. Naaman is none the wiser in regard to the lies of Gehazi, who's orchestrated all these deceitful actions to his fleshly benefit. His master did not send him, as he declared. It was his own lust that drew him after Naaman's gift intended for Elisha. Naaman receives two talents of silver and two bags with two changes of garments from Naaman that two servants bear before him. Gehazi does not bear the burden of repentance that these two talents of silver and changes of raiment signify. He just wants the reward now in this life without seeing the need to bear his burden, which is typical of believing in the substitutionary death of Christ, that Christ did everything on the cross and there's nothing left to do. "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Colossians 1:24, "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church," which is the church. The flesh is his church. The flesh and bones. Verses 24 to 27, "And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? It is a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." Gehazi used the system to his advantage, like Babylon does, to make riches off of others, making merchandise in this instance of Naaman, and using his servants to do all the heavy lifting to this end. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. He didn't even leave them a tip. The tower represents the pride of Gehazi, which we know always comes before a fall. Well, at least it doesn't say he left them anything. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Gehazi, still being plagued with a lying spirit, tells Elisha, when asked where he had been, "A servant went no whither." And then Elisha, a prophet of God, who is able to be given to know his servant's whereabouts, says this. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is this the time to receive gifts, is the question Elisha asked him. And the answer is no, not at this time. Telling us there is a time to receive gifts under the right circumstances. And 1 Corinthians 9:11 tells us that. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And there is a time to not receive them. And there's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes tells us that a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, etc. And there is a time to not receive them, as was the case with Gehazi, who not only had gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, but had done so with a lying spirit on top of everything else that he had done wrong. That I will not take from a thread, even a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine. Thus you should say, I have made Abram rich. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 and 9. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So that's the heart of the servant. We roll up our sleeves. We don't want to do anything for free. It's not wrong to work for a brother or sister and for money. But when there are other times when we don't, and we sacrifice our time. But we're not, as these verses are telling us, the spirit there is one of service and being an example of working. And Elisha pronounces upon Gehazi the punishment that he was deserving of for sowing to his flesh as he did. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. And this leprosy represents death, just as was pronounced on Ananias and Sapphira for their deceitfulness. The lesson for God's elect is that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and must die and be put off daily in order to be cleansed of our leprous condition, known as being in flesh, which is wretched in the sight of God, but able to be subdued and worked with through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we see those two men are being talked about there very clearly, but one had to be cleansed and go through the process, and the other one represents the man of perdition. He was going to have that, saying that leprosy stick to him until his last breath. And it is true, that's true of our flesh, which cannot inherit the kingdom. So you could look at it that way too. But the point is, those two lives are separated for us to make that point very bright. Romans 8, verses 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Sin's in our members, and we can only overcome it through Christ. And so that's why we thank God, because he's the one who's giving us the power to overcome, and we're helping each other, we're building each other up for that reason, to get through this life. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.